Blog Talk Radio.
Believe.
That is such an awesome message. Because that's what it's really about, brothers and sisters. It's about believing. I get it. I understand you know some things. But there's some things you need to believe. And that's where I am. It's about believing, man. Can you believe God? Can you accept what the Word of God says? Can you do that? Or do you need to know? And if you know, it's okay. Because there need to be some truth. And the best way to know is to know the truth. That's it. That's what's going to set you free. You shall know the truth. And it's going to set you free. It's going to make you free. It's the truth. The moment you realize that you've been lied to, and stuff you had have not been the truth, but now you believe that it's the truth, you can believe. I just think that is so powerful. And you say, I believe. That says quite a bit. Hey, welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Lewis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. We are truly happy to have each and every one of you all. Let me begin by saying that I want everyone to include Pastor Bell in your prayers today. We want to believe God. We want to believe, and I want to go out and say we must believe God. Believe God. There's no other truth that we need to believe but that of God. So we're going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to get right into the lesson. Father God, we could come with thanksgiving in our hearts. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word, because it's in your word, Father God, we learn who we are and whose we are. It is in your word, Father God, that we can stand in that truth, all of it, including the very fact that by your stripes we are healed in the name of Jesus. And we need to have that. We need to have that more than we have the doctor's report. We need somebody telling us, just only believe in Scripture. Only believe in what the Word, even though we know that, but we're not believing that. And so someone needs to tell us that so we can believe that. So I thank you, Father God, that today I want to announce that whoever going through, whatever you're going through, find a Scripture, stand on it, and believe in it. Believe in it more than the doctors, than your preacher, than your pastor, than anyone. Believe that word. Act on that word. Because that's what really believing is acting on that knowledge that you have received. It's very important. And especially those that are strong in the Word of God, those that are yet existing in the Word of God, please, above all, if you're going to counsel people, tell them to lay on that Word, first of all. I know you got all this other stuff, and you believe in all this other stuff, you got all this other stuff going on, but brothers and sisters, I understand doctors' positions and scientists' positions and all of that. But at the end of the day, let the Word of God be the final authority. So whoever you are, I'm sharing this bit of wisdom with you. Make sure that the Word of God is the final authority. Not so much what the doctors say, and I know your friends love you. I get that. I know family members care for you. But brothers and sisters, let me tell you, the best advice I could have ever gotten to get me through is, hey, go let the Word of God be the final authority. There are all kinds of ways you're going to get there, but let the Word of God be the final authority. So I thank God for Pastor Bill, we're lifting you up, Pastor Bill, and we're praying for you. But for yourself, woman of God, you get a scripture and you stand on it and let that be the final authority. And I don't care who says it over this broadcast or wherever you get it from, you find a scripture and stand on it. Don't know all of what's going on with you, but I can tell you this, that not only by his stripes you are healed, because that's what the scripture says, but I can tell you, but because of your position, and when I mean that, I mean because of your position in Christ, because of your position in Christ, God will answer you immediately when you make the word of God the final authority. Now, a couple of things I held in, I'm going to share this. It's not part of the lesson, but I'm going to share this. I would listen to a lot of people, and I really stopped listening to the word of God. And I'm not saying you're doing that. I'm just encouraging you to continue to listen to the word of God. Blot out all this other stuff that's going on around. It's hard. I'm the first to tell you, especially when your kids saying, do this, do that. Preachers are saying, do this and do that. Here's what I do. Man, at some point in time, you got to shut it all down. Because, Lord, I need to hear from you seriously. And that means you got to get almost in solitude. That almost means you have to get away from everything that's bombarding your ears or your mind. Just get away for it and say, I love you guys. Thank you very much. You ain't have to hurt nobody's feeling embarrassed, nobody. You don't have to tell them you don't want prayer. But shut it down. Shut it down. And say, Lord, I need a word that I can stand on from you. That's it right there, Lord. That's what I need. I don't care if it's 1 Peter 2. I just give me a word that I can stand on right there. That's what I need. And I encourage those that are listening, please take this advice. Let the word of God be the final authority, okay? And as we continue to pray, Father God, we just ask you, those that are standing in the need of whatever, and they align themselves with your word, we put ourselves in agreement with that. Then we ask you also, Father God, that as this broadcast go forth, let it touch the ears that you have ordained. We want to be in agreement with that. And all others that might get a glimpse of a truth, those as well. And these are all blessings. We ask in Christ's name and for his sake, we pray. Everybody agreed with this prayer, said amen, amen. All right. There again, we're going to kind of sort of pick up what we had been teaching on last week or the week before I had surgery. It's about knowing and believing. Yes, there are different words, and like I said before, they're often used in religious teaching. So let's kind of go with that understanding that it's about the word of God. That's what it's about. It's about, and when you talk about religious teaching, that's what we're talking about, the word of God. See, because knowing is, it means that you possess knowledge. And you know, it can be debated. The knowledge that you possess can be debated. All of it. And all through the Bible, you'll see that there was knowledge that had to be debated. I don't want to go to Elijah. You remember when Elijah had to go to Mount Carmel? And let's see who's going to be the God of today. And the knowledge was debated. Elijah said, okay, what you going to present? So the king said, whatever God that answer by fire, that will be the God of today. Elijah agreed. and they went and did their little thing. The moral of the story, they had a God that couldn't see, a God couldn't hear, a God couldn't taste. They had the statue, but they didn't have a living God. And that's kind of going to bring us to the subject today, because we're going to talk about the living word. See, we don't believe in a dead word. We believe in a living word. So therefore, we can believe. So the knowledge is that, are you believing in a dead word or a living word? Because if I understand believing is, it really means you've accepted the truth or the confidence. You're trusting in something that you don't know. But on the other hand, you believing means that you have accepted something to be true, or you have confidence that the truth is. And with that understanding is, let us all be open-minded and clear with this understanding. You grab truth. Make sure it's true, because you don't need no knowledge that's not true. So with Elijah had more true knowledge about who God really was than Ahab. So what I'm trying to tell you is that the God of today is a living God. It's a God of truth. And his word is living. It's alive. Let me show you this for those that may not know him. I want you to know that we are believing in a true and living God, a true and living word. And we've established the fact that the word of God is God. Maybe, I don't know, maybe next week we'll get into that. Because you got to have some truth in order to believe. And if you don't ever have any truth, well, you don't have to have no truth. Let me back up. So you have to have knowledge. And the knowledge you have don't have to be the truth, not necessarily the truth. Because there's a lot of people believing in false doctrine. A lot of people right now are believing in stuff that has not been validated, but they believe in it. I don't know what reason. Maybe grandmama, grandpa, somebody, auntie told them, I don't know where the guy from, but maybe the pastor, maybe the husband, maybe the wife, maybe they became part of that family and that family tradition. I don't know where you get it from, but a lot of people, and even including myself, have believed in stuff that was not true. But we act like it was true. And therefore, we paraded it as true. Excuse me. We posterize it as though it was true. We wave banners as though it was true. And we kind of like, well, hey, I almost fight you that, hey, man, this is true. And one thing in particular I think about when I go along those lines is, the fact that they used to have this Mona's bench, and they tell us we'll never know the Lord until we get there and just moan and moan and moan and foam at the mouth. Well, you all know as well as I know that's not true. But I was living like that. I was believing in that lie. And you may have, somebody here may have your own beliefs, your own lies you didn't believe in. You know, just have to be honest with. And let me tell you what, people, that's where it starts at. It starts with truth, man. Be honest with yourself. Do your own inventory. Do your own checklist. Check your, it's important that you do that. Not just let it go. You know, it'll almost do you like taxes. You know, if you don't do your taxes, keep putting it off. It's okay. Keep putting it, because, you know, last year was a, you keep on putting it off. Eventually, If you ever get any kind of money up in there, you're going to find out that they know. And that's all I'm saying. Then you're going to know. So you don't want to live a life where, okay, I'll do it later. No, go ahead on and deal with it now. If there's some discrepancy about anything in your life, go and get the truth about it. That's important. Oh, I can't tell you how important that is. That is like so important. But in Hebrews 4 and 12, I probably need to go back before Hebrews 4 and 12, but let me go to Hebrews 4 and 12 and then I go back and share a thought with you. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts, that's knowledge, and intent of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. For all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him whom we have to do. Now, what is this about? This is about the word of God. For the word of God, that's what it's talking about. It's talking about itself. The Bible is talking about itself. If no one ever told you, the Bible can speak of itself. You don't even have to speak of it. It'll speak for itself. Let me let you let soak in for a second. The word of God will speak for itself. It's not necessary that you try to prove anything. It will speak for itself. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that you got the opportunity? It ain't nothing like speaking for yourself. I believe I can get two or three witnesses right now. You don't want nobody else trying to explain your situation. Hey, wait a minute. You got it almost right, but I really need to tell this part. I mean, you really might have been there, but you really wasn't there. You know, I mean, I went through some stuff through my first marriage, and this happened, and that. Now, let me... I appreciate you trying to explain, but I really need to tell this story. Be honest with yourself. There have been some situations where you want to tell it. If it haven't been, you ain't lived long enough yet. Keep on living, because eventually you will run into some situations. Can't nobody beat you telling your story. Yeah. When I tell you God is speaking for himself, you go back and read it. It's for the word of God, talking about God's stuff. God's word is living. And if God's word is living, God is living, because God and the word is the same. He's active. That's what he's saying. He's active. He's sharper than any sword that has two edges. He cut both ways. It cuts straight into, and then it turns around and cut wide. It cut both ways. You can't get around it. That's what he's saying about God. You can't get around God. So why wouldn't you believe in a God like this? See? God's word is living and it's active. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Did I tell you that it cut deep, wide, and continuously? God's word cut three ways. Look at it like that. God's word cut three ways. Deep, wide, and continuously. That's what a two-edged sword does. It cuts everything narrow, no matter how close it is. I was told that the joint and marrow is so close, the marrow on the bone, and all that stuff is so close that you can't hardly cut it with a surgical knife. without cutting some of the others or touching the other. I've been told that. And it so happened that Medical Journal certified that a surgical knife cannot cut both. A surgical knife, I was trying to find that reading, but the surgical knife, it is not a guarantee just to cut tomorrow or just to cut tomorrow, that you will cut a little of one or the other. So the only thing can separate joints tomorrow is the word of God. It's just like the soul and the spirit. The only thing can separate the soul and the spirit is the word of God. A lot of people think the soul and the spirit is one and all, but it's not. It's not. The soul and the spirit are different. How so, you ask? Do your research. But I will give you this one little nugget. Paul said, I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body. Yeah. Be preserved for the coming of the Lord. Your whole spirit, that's one, soul is one, and body. And we understand the body and whatever, soul or spirit, there's a difference. But the word of God says there's a spirit, soul, and a body. All three are different. The only thing can separate that is the word of God. Man still have issues with trying to separate that. So God is telling the story about him. About him. Yeah. That's what he's doing. He's telling a story about him. God's word can divide, and it's always living. It's always active. God never sleeps. Physicians sleep. Doctors sleep. God never sleeps. Theologians sleep. God never sleeps. So while you were sleeping last night, God was working things together for your good. You had no idea. You had no knowledge that he was moving this person here and that person there because you need to talk to this person. Or he was arranging. I mean, God had angels out there preparing the crooked way straight for you. Yeah. The things you desire and wanted, God said, well, let's put it in place. And all predicated on if the person truly wanted, at least they're in place for that person. And then do it religion. So God is saying, this is who I am. And I want you all to know that I know your intent. I know your thoughts. God knows your intent, and he knows your thoughts. That's why when you really get into the word of God and get hooked up to the word of God, folks ain't just going to tell you no end and everything. They ain't finna do it. Some of y'all don't let it happen naturally anyway. But it sure nothing ain't going to happen when you're in touch with the word of God, because if you can't get past the word of God, it ain't going to get past you either. The word of God can separate what soul and spirit is. Now, you know, I just explained that to you. If it can separate what the soul and the spirit is, and I said I was going to let you do your own research, but your spirit is the hidden man of the heart. Your soul is that mind, that reasoning faculty, that soul is the ability to think and operate. So God breathed into man spirit, which was different. Then that man became a living soul. His mind began to operate, function on the God level. Yeah. The spirit was alive, but he had to breathe into him the breath of life, then he became that living soul. See? God said, I'm going to tell you who I am, what I'm about. That's what I do. That's what God said. That's what he do. He breathed into man. See, man will never breathe into himself. I don't care how many robots he has. I don't care how computerized he gets. He can never give the breath of life. He can't do it. Can't do it. Now, when somebody bring me that knowledge, I may change. I probably will change my stand on a lot of stuff I've established. But until that happens, I believe that God is the giver of life. And yeah, I get it, brother and sister, women and have the babies and all that. But remember, God made the man and the woman, and that's how you have babies, not Adam and Steve, but it was Adam and Eve. So this business about what's going on in America today, man, don't get me started, please. America has a job to preach the gospel, to tell people the truth. That's why America is who she is. That's why she has a responsibility. Until this gospel of the kingdom shall have been preached into all the world and to all nations, then shall the end come. God gave America that responsibility. No other country can you go in that is free to preach the gospel to all the world. China's have their rules. Russia, you know about Russia. Russia say what goes on. America's the only place. And because she have failed, and I don't care if you like it or not, because America has failed to do what God had purposed her to do. And it ain't so much, oh, well, they preach it. No, they're not. I was listening to that brother the other day. Instead of him getting up talking about what the Word of God said, he was busy talking about his agenda. God ain't never meant for it to be segregation. Your constitution, I don't care how much you believe in this stuff. Let me tell you what, your constitution, if you're a black man, you were supposed to be one-third of a man. You never was supposed to be a whole man. We're supposed to have equal rights. So what Martin Luther King brought on the scene was, yeah, we're supposed to have equal rights, and he was preaching all of that and good stuff. But let me tell you what he did first and foremost. He always put God first. That's what the preachers have stopped doing. Yeah, I get it, man. They're building churches and they're doing all this, but they're leaving God out of the conversation. It was always about God. You look at every person that represented who God is, it was about God first. It never been about bless God. It never been about equal rights. It was always about God. So our Constitution was supposed to have been built on the things of God. They got that right. In God we trust. But somewhere they done got it mixed up. We're trusting in the God of this world. That's what we're doing. And so it flips over to about money now. I remember a time when we were, as a people, black people always struggling, and they were singing God's hymns and praising God in the midst of all of that. They was telling the world there is a God. And other folks were doing it. But when it came down to living it, they wouldn't do it. But the black man would always put everything else behind and say, yes, there's a God. Somehow, some way, God's going to get us out of this. We wouldn't sell out. But the black man is selling out now. Now, you want to know why prayer's out of school? The nation is selling out. You want to know why they're killing the generations? Look at it. They're killing the future. And it's not just black men. Look at the big picture. We've had over 70 killings. Versus February in 2 months. 2 months. Over 70 killings. Why? America is not doing her job. It's no coincidence, brothers and sisters, that the other day we had these balloons come into our airspace. No coincidence. Before, as long as America was doing her job, could nothing penetrate us. No way. Shape, form, or fashion. You could never have the bombing in New York City because we was God-minded. But that's not where people at now. They're fighting for power. They're fighting for money. They're fighting for everything but trying to put God on the map. And somebody may beg the difference, say, well, God is already on the map. You're absolutely right. But nobody is telling these people. How they going to know there is a real true God? Satan tried to wipe out a whole generation of people. And he has taken the people focus off of who God should be in our lives unto other things. Let's get out here and march. And let's march for this. And let's march for equal rights. And let's march that a woman and woman get married. And let's make it a law. And that's been their focus. Bless God. America, you ought to repent. You ought to repent right now. Your focus been wrong. Let's march about it. You want to have drinking for under age 21? Let's march about it. Let's pass the law. And so they've been so law-driven. Law-driven. Not God-driven, but law-driven. So everything's about law. It's about equal rights. So, yeah, the woman should have just as equal right as the man. And then they preach this and they teach that. They're leaving God out. I wish y'all could see that. They're just leaving God out of the picture. Even our foreparents, when they were coming up and they were digging ditches in the heat of the sun, they were still had God in mind. God was the focus point. But now it's education. It's what have you did for me lately. It's about all this stuff. Let's march about it. Let's march. Let's challenge this. Let's see if this is okay in society. That's what matters. Not God. Not God's stuff. That's not what matters. I tell you today with everything in me, Lord, if I have did any of this stuff, I repent before you. And I ask the nation, I ask America, I ask everybody, let's repent and turn to God, seriously. Let God be that light, that final authority. Let it be God. Right. Okay. We thank you all for listening. I don't know if anybody have any comments or whatever. Press one. I don't have to stop. I got plenty more. Trust me. But due to the time, I want to respect y'all's time. And if someone else have anything they want to comment on, press one. Anything that you want to at least press one. Anything that you want to share, press one. There's a bunch of y'all on here now. Anybody? Okay. Well, thank you for your time. And since you're not saying anything, let me say this thing. I'm just gonna take up the whole 45 minutes. The Word of God, listen, brothers and sisters, is a living thing. So when one come into the family of God, he began to confess what the Word say, like Lordship, Jesus over his life, according to Romans 10:9-10. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For it's with the heart man believeth, not the mind. We've been taught to believe with the mind. Hello? Now, I know some of you, I wasn't taught that way. Well, you may not have been honest with yourself, but you were taught to believe in yourself. You were taught to believe in your mind. A lot of people right now being taught, believe in yourself. Believe in yourself. Go march. But we've been taught by the Word of God to believe in our heart, in our spirit, not the four by four now, but by our spirit, the heart. The Bible says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, not with the mind. Let's believe God's righteousness based on the heart. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And you remember the 11th verse? He climaxed it by saying, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. But you see, reconciliation of the Lordship of Jesus Christ is the condition of which we receive eternal life. That's what this is about. This isn't about living right now. This is your future. You're investing in your future. Look at it like that. How many of us have home insurance? How many of us have life insurance? How many of us have insurance, period? You're investing that in the event something happened, you're ready. So look at salvation, if you will, please. And then you can teach others this as well. Is that, hey, you are investing in your future. Just like an insurance policy, if your house catch on fire, boom, you're going to get paid. Matter of fact, there are some places, rental places, demand that you have coverage for your contents. They demand it. You don't have to cover their building, but boy, what's in that building better be covered, because they ain't paying for no 85-inch TVs. They ain't paying for nothing in your apartment. Demand that you have insurance. That's all I'm saying. They need to have that insurance that you're going to have eternal life. And the only condition there is you have to believe in your heart. Whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And then, too, not going to be ashamed. See, that's what jumped out at me, too. I'm not ashamed now. I'm not ashamed because, hey, let something happen if you want to. I got insurance. They're going to replace this here. And they ain't going to give me no cheap microwave. They're going to give me one of these expensive ones. And my air fryer, they better replace the one I got. So I'm not ashamed. Let it burn. Let every brick in here burn. They're going to replace it because I have insurance. So I'm not ashamed. See, that's what that really means. You're not scared. You're not afraid. You're not worrying about the consequences, see? So let's invest in our future. Let's look at it like an insurance policy, if you will. Boy, something happened, I'm covered. And I know this, so I can believe this. Do that make sense, huh? I know because I can look through the Word of God and say, man, this deal took place, and he had that assurance policy. God raised Jesus from the dead. I tell you, I got the best policy. See, faith is not created of the intelligent, of the thinking. That's not faith, man, because you got it in your mind programmed like that. But anyway, hey, praise God. Hey, I thank each and every one of y'all for joining. We might pick this up on the review, and who knows? We may let it go. Whatever the Lord say to do, hey, I'm open. He had to need to hear what they had to hear, but praise God. Text me if you needed it. If I said something that and those that are online, I know you're going to let me know. But all the others, let me know you heard something. You didn't want to say nothing today, but you heard something that got you to thinking, whatever. Y'all so much. We're going to continue to lift you up, Pastor. God bless you.